We'll welcome Bob Hafe. He's going to give the kickoff presentation about Dr. Larry Bundy, the man and his work.
Thank you, Carrie. I come with very mixed emotions. First of all, sadness that we lost Larry, to me at a young age. Wouldn't have been young a few years ago to me, but it is now. And it's a real honor to be able to talk about Larry, the man and his work. As I developed this, and I really didn't know how to do it, and I'm not sure if I did it the right way or not, but you're going to find that I talk more about the man than I do about his work. You can all read his papers, and you have and will, but some of you may not have known some of the things that his colleagues were able to uncover for me as we move through. Larry was born in a little town of Redbud, which is south and east of St. Louis, down along the Mississippi River. I assume it's probably named after the Redbud tree. And it's a town that's became famous 2 years ago because at that time, the largest lottery winner lived in Redbud. And they had a big celebration there. They should have been celebrating one of their favorite sons, who probably contributed as much as this lottery ticket did. I don't know much about lottery. I've never bought a ticket in my life, and I never will because I think it's a bad form of taxation. But nevertheless, Redbud gained a lot of fame here a couple of years ago. Larry was born and raised on a livestock and grain farm down there, went to Redbud School, and then to the University of Illinois for his B.S. and his M.S. His M.S. was with Dr. Frank Stevenson, a world-renowned soil scientist, a name that many of you probably remember. Then on to Iowa State to work with Jack Bremner. Dr. Bremner, again, a world-renowned soil scientist, but his work there got interrupted by a call from the federal government, U.S. Army. He was off for 2 years, and then back to Iowa State, where he completed his degree in 1973 with Dr. Bremner. Upon graduation, he went to work for the canning industry, and then back to academia at the University of Wisconsin in 1982, and retired from there in 2007. When I was putting this together, I solicited from my colleagues, Larry's colleagues, comments about Larry. And these are the kinds of things that came back. And they were pretty consistent, from letter to letter, email to email. Visionary. Soft-spoken individual, but his words carried great weight. Supportive of others, and you can read down through that list. And we're going to spend some time on some of those things here just a little bit. Basically, Larry was a very caring person, very personal reaction with his friends and colleagues. He was able to balance his personal and private life. And as I go through here, especially for the younger ones in here, take heed of what Larry did, because many of us don't do it. Many of us have gone one way or the other, and particularly with our professional life, and devoted our time to that. As my wife says, she knows of virtually no one that on their deathbed said, "I wish I'd have spent more time at work." If we do it right, we can balance our life and get the job done. Larry was married for 46 years, had two sons. Larry never bragged about them. But I can tell you, if you asked about them, he would start to talk about them, and he was very proud of that family that he had. He and his wife traveled pretty extensively and enjoyed going around the country and around the world. I'm not sure how much international travel they did. One thing I always noted about Larry, he liked a good beer. And whenever I was around Larry, I would stand back and watch and see which one he picked out, because it would always be a good one. The other thing I noticed on these photos was there was always water. And Larry always, at one point or another, had that fishing pole in his hand and was trying out that water no matter where he was at. He had three really, as I understand, hobbies. One was fishing, one was gardening, and the other was reading detective novels. And Larry was a detective in his own right, in his research. The fishing was one I was around with him on many occasions, and it didn't matter what time of day or night it was, Larry was ready to get on that boat and go out and catch fish. Panfish with Keith Kelling up in the northern waters. That elusive walleye to get the big one. Out on the big waters, the big lakes, and on the big lake, the ocean. And he always was in hunt of that challenging bass that he had to keep it on the end of the line. He was an educator. And it didn't matter who the audience was in front of him. He adjusted his presentation to meet their needs. If it was a group of lay people, his terminology was to that group in a way that they understood it. If it was at the ASA meetings, his terminology could be as technical as any of us sitting in here. Any of you sitting in here, I don't get that technical. He had that ability. And I always felt like Larry was talking to me, not lecturing to me. It was like we were in the living room and he was talking to me with what he had. And this is a characteristic that I find so important, and so few of us do, the ability to listen. And that photo tells it all. He is intent, and he always was intent on whoever he was talking to. They were top in his mind. Nobody else mattered. He listened to everything they had to say, and he would react to that conversation. But he would do it only when the timing was right. He was a great listener, and he learned a lot from that, and he taught a lot of us from that. He was a great mentor and colleague. Carrie mentioned that already, a mentor to her. He was a mentor to many of us, even if we'd been around longer than he was. You learn from him. His graduate students, they were not his employees. They were always of equal importance to him. And I think that's very important. A researcher. He would never ask anyone to do anything that he wouldn't do himself. He was out there in the field. He knew what happened in those experiments because he was right there doing it right along with that crew that was out there helping. His research record. And the numbers I've got are probably minimal. There are probably more papers done after his resume was put together for the last time. What I was really impressed with, he had 12 publications within the first 2 years after he graduated from Iowa State. Now, Jack Bremner was very good and very productive. I remember talking to Frank Stevenson, and he said, if you write a paragraph a day, you'll have 4 to 5 publications in a year. So Frank was very productive as well. Larry learned from those two. His graduate students were well-trained and are out in the industry and in academia. I don't think he had a teaching appointment. I don't know how they do it at Wisconsin, but he taught in the I forget what you call it, it's a short course up there. He taught 25 courses in 16, 17 years, more than one course a year, as well as had a full extension program. And Larry always, he had these peer-reviewed papers, but he always took it the next step, in my mind. He took it to popular publications and put it in a format that people that could use it could understand it and could figure out how it fit into their operation. And when he gave his talks, he did it in a way that didn't lecture to them, but that gave them the options to choose from his research to what would work on their farm. He started out with nitrogen, as most of us have, source, rate, and time, or as my colleagues in weed science always say, spray and pray. And, you know, a lot of us have done that, and you can get a lot of work in a hurry. But he took that on to further levels. He looked at the organic end, the old organic, the new organic, where did it come from, how much of it was being used. And he developed the early season nitrogen test, or the spring nitrogen test, I forget what we call it, for use on livestock farms. And that worked very well for Wisconsinites. It doesn't work so well for some of us that don't have any livestock around. He also worked on carbon sequestration, and I didn't even know that. And he did a lot of work there and worked with a lot of colleagues. And he moved on to phosphorus. Most of us have been afraid to move away from nitrogen because it was such an easy thing. You could never find the answer for sure. You could always find another question to ask. With phosphorus, he developed it to the P index that's being used in Wisconsin and used very effectively. And he figured out all the things that went in between. Larry's research was always done to the end. As Paul Harvey used to say, he got to the rest of the story with his work. His extension programs followed his research, and he always took it out to them and made sure it was in a form that people could use. Let me summarize here by saying he did a great job of balancing his personal and professional life. He was organized and he was disciplined, and he could do that. Many of us waste too much time. He was a scholar because he had a vision that he could see where things were going. And he listened. And he learned from those that were out there on the farm, from those that were colleagues elsewhere. And he was a detective. Again, he took it to the final end. He got the final clue. He was a professor and an educator, a colleague, and a great mentor. And he had integrity. I served on a number of regional committees with him. And when Larry said he was going to do something, it got done. And usually got done early and was always very well done. Very few people had to modify it. I will close by changing the title just a little bit. A scholar and a gentleman. That term is often used, and I don't know very many people it truly pertains to, beyond Larry Bundy. We have scholars and we have gentlemen, but the two don't always go together. In the case of Larry, they did. He was always respectful of other people, but he always did it in a very scholarly manner. Gary, I've appreciated my time. I'm not sure how we're doing, but we might be a little ahead of time. And I know there aren't going to be any questions for me because I wouldn't know the answers to them, but Larry very definitely is, or was, a scholar and a gentleman, and it is a great loss to all of us to not have Larry with us any longer here on this earth. Thank you very much.